WPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are, ready to lay the old year to rest, and to ladle out the desirable template for the new year. Remember that a coyote loves to hurl lightning at the closed circle of story and turn it into a spiral, a liberating spiral for all beings. So we are gathered in council to do that, and many things, and dedicate. Dedication is strong. Let us be agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world. So our theme today is all of those, but also mushrooms, poetry, prophecy, and politics. Yes, better to create prophecy than live prediction, I always say, because prediction comes from predicament, which is never, we know all about that. So we close out the year with our excellent ally, Art Goodtimes, erudite, pragmatic, mystic, politician, poet laureate of the Telluride Mushroom Festival, retiring from his fifth term as Colorado Green County Commissioner, but still active with poetry and mushrooms, and we will conjure together what of 2015 shall we toss into the year-end cauldron, and what shall we honor and woofify for 2016. Welcome, Art.
Hey, it's good to be on KPFA again from KOTO out here in Colorado.
Yay, that's great. And you are a Bay Area native, born to immigrant Italian father and sixth-generation Californian.
You know, I'm one of the few people who can say their ancestors are still buried in San Francisco. My great-grandfather is buried in the Presidio.
And you are Art Goodtimes, but it is actually your name, right? Arturo Bueno Tempi?
Arturo Francisco Boom Tempi. Actually, it's Italian, but I use the English because it's an English-speaking world. That's the power, isn't it?
No, but I love it. It was like you chose this name before birth. That's so perfect.
How much is preordained? I wonder. In my baby book, they said I'd make a fine priest, so I ended up in a seminary. How does that work?
Well, yes. But you, like we all do, we go into things going, anybody who's got the answer, we'll dive in, going, and then we skedaddle back out, going, this part's good, and we leave that part, and we keep that part, and we syncretize, right, as is our free-range nature.
We weave it all around, and it's important sometimes to get knocked out of something you're deeply into, and for my life, that's been real powerful. In fact, mushrooms have been a real powerful influence leading me on new paths that were actually really helpful in the end.
Yes. Well, you know, actually, you are familiar with Oliver Quintanilla, see, right? Yes.
No, I don't know this person.
No, you do, because you showed his movie, Little Saints Movie, at the Telluride Mushroom Festival.
No. Oh, you know, I missed that. I wasn't there for that, and I didn't arrange it, so I have to learn of this person.
Oh, okay. Well, very, very wonderful. Well, he's next week's guest, because he's made a fantastic movie, Little Saints, on the real Maria Sabina and the mushrooms, and a beautiful documentary. And so we want to begin the year in an entheogenic way. I love the effusive video of you that I put on Facebook, Coyote Network News. Go like it. And it's you for the first time legally buying cannabis, and you're just you know, you're an embodiment of what a good idea that is, because you go, I love it. It's a wonderful thing. It's a sacrament. It's for poetry. It's good for all of us. That's the gist of it.
Right? I mean, the years for this. Are you kidding? It was such a wonderful moment. I thought it would happen in California, but I couldn't believe my adopted home state was the first to move forward on this, along with Washington.
Well, apparently, yesterday, a national bill was signed making medical cannabis legal in 50 states.
Oh, I didn't hear. That's wonderful news. What a great way to end the year.
Yeah, that's right. No, so we're going to need these entheogenic sacraments, you know. And 2 weeks ago, I hosted Rick Strassman, who taught us all the word, which you probably know, endogenous. Endogenous, meaning we have cannabidiol receptors in our body. It's a natural fit. But also we have DMT receptors, and also we can manufacture DMT. And I think where we're going is, you know, we want either by serious Zen work or an IV of DMT, take your pick, or whatever. We want these kinship, heart-opening, creative part of humans so we can rejoin the choreography of creation, yeah?
You say it so well. And it's true. We really need those endogenous receptors in our bodies are just alert when something like an entheogen, which is what we call the psychedelics, when it comes and it kind of takes you away and brings you into a new world. And now, not all drugs are equal. Some drugs are horrible. Cocaine and meth are not things. I can't even watch the Breaking Bad because I can't stand meth. It's so bad. But there are entheogens. There are kinds of drugs that can be really helpful.
No, that reminds us we have some interesting music lined up, and we might re-line up Padobanton just for a little smidge at some point. Do you know his wonderful song, I Do Not Sip the Coke, I Only Smoke Sensimilla?
No, I want to hear it.
Okay, well, we'll have it lined up. Do we have it lined up now? No, we don't have it lined up now. No, first we have to go to grief, beauty from grief.
Yeah.
So you share a friendship with our great ally, friend of show, and all of creation, David Grimes, yeah?
Oh, David and I go back a bit through Dolores LaChapelle, my
yes.
teacher, an amazing crone, deep ecologist, powder skier who passed away a few years ago, but left a legacy of what she called the Way of the Mountain, and David is part of that whole clan.
And it was he that told me that Dolores LaChapelle, you know, founder of deep ecology, she loved it in Italian because it was ecologia profunda.
Profunda,
isn't that great? I love that.
It has great sound in Italian, yeah.
Yeah, Italian, really, profunda, that's really great. Okay, so.
It's interesting because I have another Alaskan that I'm just connecting with now. There's the woman Jewel, the pop singer, has sort of moved to Telluride part-time. And
wow.
She did a big show for the Opera House, $150 a seat, really great. And now she's doing a free show for us with her poetry, so I'm really delighted to meet her again.
Excellent. And Alaska, you say. So, yes, and a shout-out to all of our friends in Alaska, some of whom have lost much recently, and to our own beloved David Grimes, who is recovering from operation in Missouri. So we embrace him. We're about to hear his beautiful voice. And
yeah.
And for all, you know, many of us may have lost important people, but all of us have lost 30,000 species at least this year. So here's our beautiful David Grimes, that we may feel beauty from grief. And again, with the Irish, you know, for everybody to feel this, to lay with honor the beautiful grief of this last year, you know, when the ghost of loss stands behind us, then may the ancestors place a cloak of solace around our shoulders that will mend our life.
And sometimes I fear my heart will break. It never does. It never does. As if by breaking it would make the most of love, the most of love. And little do I understand why pain and love go hand in hand, or why the beauty of a song can make and keep my heart so strong. Oh, we are but a moment here, and in a moment we are gone. But every moment that we share becomes forever in a song. And when I feel my heart so full, that it will break or overflow. Then it will overflow in song and never break, but only grow. Sometimes I feel my heart will break. It never does. It never does.
Ah, that was our great friend David Grimes singing a wonderful song by our also ally Jessica Radcliffe, denizen of New Orleans. This is the Visionary Activist Show. I'm Caroline Casey, and we're here with our splendid, perfect guest, Art Goodtimes, to lay the old year to rest and to throw into the cauldron and to ladle out desirable templates for animation. But that's a good song, isn't it, Art?
It's beautiful. Unbreakable is our spirit, and it reminds me of John Trudell, who we just lost. One of, I think, Americans that was in my generation.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, exactly. All of the beings and good lads. And I love, David Grimes has been a guide to so many wonderful members of our team, many who have gone backstage, so to speak. And I can't remember if it was Dolores or not, but so many were leaving, and they were like, oh, there's so much to do to save the earth, and so much to do. And then afterwards he had a dream in which Dolores said, oh, I get it. There's still a lot to do. Right, so we like that. I think we want to animate. We don't know. These are mysteries, but we like to animate that template that, you know, we cannot live through the dead, but we can invite parts of the dead to live through us. Yes.
And I'm excited about, you know, some of the things that are happening and some of the directions. I know we get mired down as an environmentalist or ecologist, whatever. We really mourn so much. It's hard to sometimes spin out the positives that are happening, but. Well, just with this legalization of a plant, you know, the fact that we're able now to investigate the possibility of using hemp on all its possible uses. I'm just reading about hempcrete and how powerful a building block it could be, better than bricks. There are so many good things that could come out of just simple changes.
Absolutely. No, that's right. No. We know our frame, you know, of dominance and empire and colonialism, row, you bastards, you know, and dominate nature, you know, and then now collapsing, but taking quite a lot of life with it. But underneath, here we go, you know, culture of reverent, collaborative, you know, ingenuity rising from the rubble, you know, that humans may humbly cooperate with the genius of nature. Yes, rising up, that's where we're going. So, yeah, hempcrete, the legalization of plants, for goodness sake, okay. But it's true, we do want to honor some amazing things, you know, gay marriage. Amazing. I mean, of course, common sense, but amazing, really. And the you know, going to festivals and having no policemen there to bust people for marijuana. I mean, amazing. Amazing. I'm going to do a little, I have a little skull rattle here. Okay. For sound effects. And then, so I love, Kim Stanley Robinson. I keep getting his last name wrong, but science fiction writer who was a pretty good speaker at Pioneers. But he said, enough with the dystopian imagination. You know, we've already got that. We're living that. We've got that. We want to encourage the utopian imagination, right? To ladle this out of the cauldron and spiral it forth with Coyote into 2016, going utopian imagination, everybody.
And I'm one step along with a panarchy. So I really think that we ought to be pantopia. It's not just about, you know, the well, because we will have some dysfunctional things, but it's about balancing the energy. And I think that's what the future, I hope, that our young people are going to take away from us.
Oh, I love that. So pantopia. Explain that more, because, yes, we love words.
Pantopia. Oh, Greek. I studied Latin and Greek because I studied to be a Roman Catholic priest because my mother wrote I'd be a priest in my baby book. Anyway.
And you are. You're a cannabis priest, a mushroom priest.
I am. I'm a hermit of the lyric valuables.
Right. So there's utopia, which is good. I forgot. What is topia?
Topia's place.
Oh, place. Okay. So you or pan. Pantopia means pans frolicking around everywhere. What?
Yes, and so you is well, and, you know, dis is not bad, sort of bad energy, and pan means all. So all energy, all places. Let's honor everything. Let's really embrace it all.
That's great. And then it was a Greek scholar, and I hope this isn't wrong because I love it so, but he said that the prefix dis, D-I-S or D-Y-S, means underworld, where we are taken there, where our souls can speak more deeply to us.
It does. It actually, that's a very deeper meaning. You know, that's where it's so important to get away from me. Eric Erickson was the model of getting away from good and bad and getting to strengths and weaknesses. And you see, even in the darkest of the black, there's some strength, there's some power, and there's something to learn. But we have to go carefully. You know, it's funny. I one time asked a couple gals who came from the res about in the Pueblos. I asked them, what's this beauty way? All the time I've been out in Colorado, everybody talks about the beauty way. And I was like, what does that mean? So the woman gets down on the ground and puts her finger in the dirt and makes a big circle. And right away, of course, I fell in love with that, writing in the dirt. But she says, on that circle is the path of life. And in the middle of that circle is all the light. And on the outside of that circle is all the darkness. And I thought immediately of all my friends who always want to be in the spotlight or in the center of the light. And she said, the beauty way is walking that path between light and dark.
That's good. And another great teammate who went backstage this year is the great writer Terry Pratchett. Don't know if you loved him, but I loved him. He was a great animist, a great Taurus animist, everything alive. You know, a moan escaped his lips, happy to be free, everything. The moan's alive, everything's alive. But he said, this little circle of firelight, we are gathered now in this little circle of firelight we call the physical world, going, ooh, surrounded by the mysterious dark. So that's also...
That really is our, you know, I used to attend a conference down in New Mexico, and it was nuclear physicists, mostly quantum mechanics folks, with people who were believed in language, linguistics, that believed that language actually created things, and then Native American elders. And it was amazing the continuity between all three.
Yes. Yeah, there is, and that's an important theme before all of us. I mean, right now, Saturn in Sagittarius squares Neptune. I think of squares in our lives, or even in this language, as an assignment to get illusorily estranged principles to dance together, you know, and they were estranged by the reality police as a sneaky thing to keep people, you know, obedient. But we're breaking free from that. But part of the assignment, everybody, is Saturn Sagittarius in a way can be thought of as, you know, knowledge, study, philosophy, science. Squares Neptune, dreams, vision, entheogens, compassion. And so the wedding of knowledge and compassion and mythology wants to happen again. We go, oh, yes, they do. And that's already happening partly from the dis, you know, in which so many scientists are weeping because they love. They're finally able, they have to admit that they love what they study. They love the ocean. They love all the little critters there. They love that. So one of my favorite stories of ongoing from 2015, I want to keep with us, that is a great embodiment of this, is the wonderful New Horizons rocket to Pluto. Did you see those pictures?
I hadn't, no.
Oh, you got... Well, the first picture coming back from Pluto, Pluto's got a giant heart on it. And, I mean, just irrefutable. Going, the Lord of Death loves us. That's so cute. But the reason I bring it up is that, you know, this was an incredible engineering feat. It took 9.5 years from Earth to Pluto, right, which is witty, 9 steps to the underworld. More women were working on this project than any other NASA project. And they were unabashed in their love of Pluto. They go, we love this planet. It's a planet, damn it. Back off, Neil deGrasse, know-it-all Tyson. Dude, it's a planet. But even better, on the rocket, they put, aside from the cameras and everything, they put two symbolic things. They put some of Clyde Tombaugh's ashes, he who discovered Pluto. So human ashes have left the solar system. But even cooler, they were talking about, you know, they loved this rocket. They go, and it was going to do this amazing thing, was thread this needle, this incredible engineering feat, you know, go right between Pluto and its very large moon, Charon, the ferryman in the underworld. And they said, it's going to be the loneliest little rocket in the world, or in the whatever, because we're going to lose contact with it. But we put a quarter, a 25-cent piece on the rocket to pay Charon for safe passage. Isn't that great? And then when the rocket emerged, they go, it worked. They weren't. So it's like if in all of our hearts, you know, we have the practical, yes, knowledge, Sagittarius, rah, rah, you know, and then the Neptune, the mythological, the token to the gods and the divine, that wants everything that's been sundered wants to come back together, you know, to be pragmatic Saturn, mystics, Neptune, the likes of yourself. So I want to, you know, and the New Horizons, it's still sending photos back from Pluto. It's going to take about a year, because it's a long way. But all the photos, Pluto has 12,000 foot high ice mountains, and it's an incredible place. And we go, ooh, but I love the placing of, you know, that's a valuable quarter. Don't ever turn your nose up at a quarter, a 25-cent piece, because it can pay safe passage. So there's that.
You know, one of the things that was interesting when I studied what religion means was that it actually is what ties us back to the past. And oftentimes we need to break those ties to move on, or we need them broken to get us moving. But then sometimes as we get older in life, we go back to those old ties, and we kind of tie things together with the present. So that old Roman myth of putting money for Karen is really a beautiful image of sort of where our civilization is right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, put it, and also, again, in our tolerance, I sort of want to throw overused or words that they want to be just replenished to be thrown into the cauldron. So I want to throw the word secular into the cauldron as a booby prize when countries call themselves that, because it sort of means unholy, and ladle out tolerant. This is a tolerant, yeah, an all-inclusive country, a tolerant country. Because one of the things, you know, because I like to sometimes I cross the line, because you got to know where the line, you know, you got to cross the line to know where it is. But I was once talking to a very prominent rabbi, and I said, well, you know, how about this? I think of religions as like shipwrecks on which beautiful coral sometimes grows. And he said that's perfect. Anyway, because, you know, there's so many kind of, you know, oh, the Quran, you know, oh, the Old Testament, you can have, you know, the, you know, brutality poker. And we go, yeah, but think of them as shipwrecks, and then this beauty and art has grown on it, and we throw away the dominance part, but we love the kind of shipwreck ruin on which the coral grows, the incredible, exquisite art of Islam, full of the feminine and full of yearning, and we go, yeah, that's the coral. That's the living thing, and the poetry, yeah, the poetry from all
of.
So
we were talking earlier, and you were mentioning one of the things you'd studied about an image that, of a woman of men all arguing or something, and
let me give it to you. That's right, because as we're animating now between ourselves and our fabulous dedicated listenership, hello, the sun right now. You know, slowly setting further north, return of the light, return of let us all gather to redefine positive leadership. We're inaugurating a story. We'll come back to inaugurating. But the sun is quintile, pretty much exactly 72-degree angle to Mars, which is irresistible eloquence about guiding positive Mars direction. And Mars's image, there's images for each degree of the zodiac, is men toiling in a dark pit. A woman calmly lowers a rope.
I love that image there, Caroline.
It's great. And again, regardless of our extremely temporary age, race, and gender assignment, it's the woman in all of us going, oh, boys, toiling down there. You know, hello, yoo-hoo, here's a rope if you want, you know. And I like that idea that we're all, you know, roiling, there's the roiling down there, and we're all throwing the rope down going, here, if you want. We're tossing keys to beautiful and rowdy prisoners, as Hafez says, and go, here you go. So let's animate some desirable. I like, because, you know, why not? Yeah, again, we're priming the pump of possibility poker. So I like that, you know, Trump runs as independent, tosses the election to Bernie.
Yeah, that sounds like a really possible thing. You know, if I read People magazine right back in the 90s or something, he actually kind of said he wanted to run on the Republican ticket so he could lie and win his way to the election.
Yes, and that's right. No, he's become too poisonous to be funny. I mean, he is an animation of American murderous vulgarity. I like somebody said it's as though the comment section put on human form and started walking around the comment section of any, you know, just saying any old thing, but flushing it to the surface, I guess. You know, we think.
Carol, I look at we grew up in the 60s. That's my generation. I love the yuppies. So Trump is like this great political theater. It's hilarious. If it's not a parody, he's doing a pretty good job of it.
Yes, it is, but it is so full of poison. But again, the poison, you know, and we go, we're throwing poison into the cauldron. It's like one of the things I do use all the time. But you know, here we all have sourdough starter, we're allowed to set in motion, and all of us right now together, you know, on this New Year's Eve approaching, we're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients. So when a beautiful, adorable Wanda Sykes said, you know, Rush Limbaugh wants Obama to fail, I want Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to fail, we go, no, we like the impulse, but here's where we cook it. We go, no, we want Rush Limbaugh and Trump's kidneys to work so well that they flush all the poison out of him, leaving him in a pool of befuddled innocence.
Yeah. That's a beautiful image. You know, Carolyn, I like to think of it as the inner Trump. We all have this kind of poison in us. We're a racist culture. We can call it a Christian nation, but you look at our history and our laws from the Dred Scott decision on up, there's been all these things that have happened. So these toxins, these poisons, we see it played out in front of us if you follow the national scene, but honestly, where the real work gets done, and that's why, for me, being a county commissioner has been so powerful, because the real work gets done locally. I'm certainly paying attention nationally, and, man, if I was in Syria, it'd be a whole different world, but I am where I am, and in my place, I think it's really important for me to be on top of my place, at least, in these times when, as my friend says, the best defense is a cultural offense. So building communities of culture and power is really the job for all of us. Not any one of us can avoid that one.
Yes. No, that's good. No, I think in the Ho'oponopono, cook everything back to its originating impulse and then liberate it and free it. But you know, healing the world by healing that within ourselves is part of that practice from Hawaii. Okay, so we all acknowledge, you know, we dreamed our inner Trump was trumping around and we want to, well, you know, again, the high moments of the last year that we all want to animate. I loved when a crazy person jumped on stage at the Symbiosis Festival and stripped off her clothes and began dry humping everybody on the stage. And, you know, these petty tyrannies, how can we deal with large tyranny when we don't know how to deal with petty tyranny? But this wonderful, one of the MC women just kind of hooked the crazy woman through the arm and said, "And you, dear, you come with me right this way because you are fascinating." And just hypnotized her off stage. And I think that, and you, Trump, you come this way because you are fascinating. Here we go. We have a team of psychiatrists ready to, anyway. So, yeah, I think that's part of that dynamic. So, you know, again, complicity. You know, complicity, I'm in love with complicity, not shame, not blame, but whatever's going on, we're contributing, you know, creative energy to it. And once we realize that, we can inhale, you know, our complicity back and exhale it into a more desirable story, which we will be
only
doing.
More desirable, it's really breathed out on, gets built, gets shaped where you are. And that sometimes I think people use national and international news as a distraction from the world they're in. I know we're in a built world, but my world exists with the people I live around and I talk to, that I buy from and I sell to. It's important that we breathe in this. I mean, this is a terrible time for many, many people. Breathe that in and breathe out the complicity into beauty and community.
Beauty and community, yes, and well-wishing. And then the inner dedication, you know, magnetizes the opportunity to be of good, whatever comes along, whether it's, you know, somebody in the checkout line or Syrian refugees or whatever arrives. You know, and I think that's one of David Grimes' beautiful phrases is, you know, we want to cultivate and encourage the innocent dignity of our child heart, which is... which is not, you know, people say love makes you vulnerable. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think love makes you strong. You know, toxic mimic of love, you know, obsession makes you vulnerable, maybe, you know, and then we put that to one side. But we're about to have our short break music, and let's see, which way shall we go? Do we have Pat O'Bonton lined up? Oh, we might as well, because you brought it up, and this is a blast from the past, but it's very charming in keeping with what you had in mind, Art, and I'm delighted to play it for you first. So we're going to take a very short break to hear Pat O'Bonton's ministry. I do not sip the Coke, I only smoke Sensimilla. We will be right back after that with Art Goodtimes, and we are doing Pardoning Poker. Who would you like to see pardoned? Okay, and we'll be right back. Here we go.
I do not sip the Coke, I only smoke. I do not sip the Coke, I only smoke Sensimilla. Train from Birmingham to London. Halfway on my journey was approached by this white ruffian with greasy hair and scruffy jeans. He looked just like a villain. He sat down opposite me with attendants in his right hand. But I don't judge appearance, I just check the way you galang. So I introduced myself to him as Mr. Pat O'Bonton. Nice to meet you, my name's Rowdy, and I work with PA Hire. I've heard your name someplace before, but I just can't remember. Well, anyway, I'm very, very, very glad to meet ya. And I've got some dope, it's Oscar's Coke, you can have this for a fiver. I looked down on the table and saw a piece of silver paper. Inside the silver paper was some powder that looked like flour. They asked him, what it do for you? It gave you strength and power. Not everyone I wanted to hear the way that Rowdy answered. Well, Mr. Pat O'Bonton, the sensation is fine. It makes me see green men and I go to cloud nine. All my worries and problems are left miles behind. So no matter where I am, I have a brilliant time. If you don't believe me, hold on and I'll fix you a line. Just take one sniff of this and you'll be out of your mind. But I took the coke and threw it right outside the carriage window. Before he could say a word, I quickly built up a five-sheeter into my pocket for my Sensi and my lighter. I lit it with a flash and then to Rowdy passed it over. I could see that he was loving it because of his expression. They tell him this is Sensi, the healing of the nation. In some place doctors use it for herbal medication. Ronald Reagan smoked it just before him go up on television. After Margaret Thatcher visit him, she brings some back to England, then distributes it equally throughout the House of Commons. But fun and joke aside, it gives me deep, deep meditation. It fills my heart with niceness and I get enough inspiration. You could be any color, any creed or any nation. After smoking Sensimilla, I know you'll find a reason why I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. Nah, I go sip no coke, I only smoke. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Sensimilla. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Sensimilla. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Sensimilla.
Welcome back, team, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Our splendid guest is Art Goodtimes. We are laying the old year to rest and ladling out the desirable. And that was a blast from the past. Just a little bit of Pat O'Bonton. I do not sip the coke. I only smoke Sensimilla. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that.
That's great. So it is from way back, but it has a shy charm, right? Because when you mentioned Breaking Bad, I mean, we all drink poison. I did watch it, but I go, I think, you know, it was so well done that does it. That does it for men, violence, dystopian, whatever. It's like, we don't need to do that anymore. That handled it completely. It can't be done better. Let's move on.
With things that are well done sometimes. I love The New Yorker, but I can't subscribe because I read everything. I don't have time for everything.
and you probably don't watch TV, do you?
No, I don't have a TV. So
yeah, there you go.
It's wonderful isolation. And, you know, I choose what I want to touch base with, and I have my sources of various things, but not always the normal ones.
Right. Well, no. Again, we want to expand our repertoire. Right now, the beautiful curve of planet space around us is, you know, in Berkeley, Uranus, trickster, redeemer, principle of nature's evolutionary against all odds, ingenuity, and coyote is rising in the east, and then there's planets. And then below is the moon and Jupiter and Virgo, which is cultivating medicine stories. So yeah. To take old things and bring them alive in a fresh, new, innovative way, which is part of your dedication, right?
Yes, that's exactly, I think. If as poets, we get to make things. Poein, the Greek, means to make. It doesn't really mean to make words. It just means to make. And so I think what a poet gets to do is recreate the world in the image they see. And so we make new words, we take old words, and we revive them. And I think that's really a powerful energy for the culture. We can do that with anything in our lives.
Yeah, and so everything, so the whole shape of the planets around the Earth is shaped like a crescent, like a scoop, scoops up knowledge, scoops up experience, its entire knowledge systems for lunch, part of all of us now, and it is between this innovative, new, fresh thing and the old, beautiful power of language, medicine, stories, and something to animate, Jupiter, storytelling in Virgo, micro word, linguistic precision. Linguistic precision guides the vision. There we go. And it's transiting where Neptune was in the U.S. chart when this country was founded. Many layers of stories, but Neptune, meaning the vision, the soul, the desirable thing, the thing that they knew wasn't happening but may it unfold. It was at 22 Virgo. Jupiter's right on that right now. So storytelling is right on the desirable soul of this country. And just to know a little, people get all grumpy and everything, but there's many layers to politics. And when I first heard Barack Obama, I was like, oh, and that was in 2004, did his chart. His Mars is 22 Virgo. So his Mars is on the soul of this country, and he did. He animated the desirable, inclusive vision of the country. And then he had to go to prison, known as the presidency, where he's done, again, people, appropriately grumpy, but also we want to encourage the good, much good as well.
Much good.
Yeah. So, we speak to the mythological good in all beings. And even remembering that, yes, Gollum had an important role to play in The Lord of the Rings. It was Gollum's overreaching that allowed the Ring of Power to be tossed into the crack of doom. So, we wonder what everyone's role is, but everyone's got a role somehow, and we just, it's like guiding the crazy person off stage going, hey, no, over here. There you go, over here.
Great. So that's the trick is how to do activism and do it in a way that's graceful and doesn't go out to hurt people unless you have no other choice, in which case you have to. But honestly, I think I'm so disappointed to hear of Thomas Jefferson, one of my idols. I have to unpardon him in my life because I'm not happy with what I've heard about him. But I'd like now, after what I've heard about everything, to pardon John Brown. I think John Brown was a hero that we vilify when actually he was so enraged by injustice that he took action.
Yes, well, now we're moving to pardon poker. But before we do that, we go, yes, just the spice, because Jonathan Swift, great Irish satirist, right? Really good. And we go, we love satire. Sarcasm, no, because that means to hurt and chew and bite. But satire, liberating. And on Jonathan Swift's tomb, his epitaph that he wrote, it says, "Here lies Jonathan Swift, where the fierce winds of savage indignation no longer lacerate his heart." That's spicy. So we don't want to be too grumpy, but maybe a half a drop of savage, fierce winds of savage indignation, just a little bit. We want compassion with sizzle, meaning fully informed. Because very often, our team, bless all of our team, of left-wingers can go, "Now, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't think anything was good." And it's like, hey, there's a flag on that play, colonial condescension, colonial condescension, pulling rank, pulling status, 5-yard penalty declined. Okay, ball back in play. But now, yes, let's go to pardon poker, because we both had the top of our list.
Leonard Peltier,
exactly.
Have to think of.
That's right.
One of the heroes of my generation.
Yeah, and again, Jupiter is on Barack Obama's Mars. We get to send him mythic suggestions and liberate his heart. But in complicitous fair deal, we got to watch his back. May the council of ancestors, in the form of wise wolves, place a cloak of guiding earth wisdom around his shoulders and protection. So he can do all this stuff. So pardoning poker, everybody think who you'd like pardoned. Both Art and I were like, Leonard Peltier, at the end of the year, that's okay. Beginning would be even more fun. And also, John Walker Lind. I want John Walker Lind released to tell his story. Again, here's how the kind of beautiful astro-political mytho-language is guiding us. You know, a wise culture would trump the desire for punishment with the curiosity about story. And right. John Walker Lind, you know, native to Bay Area, you know, he joined the he was a serious person, which is why, you know, kind of Valley Girl High School Marin was like, no, this is too silly. He was a dedicated scholar. He goes, he teaches. He's loved in the madrasas. He joined the Taliban. Yeah, it could happen. At a time when the Taliban was legal, When Bush was entertaining them in Texas, that's what he joined. And then he's, you know, rounded up and sent away in the terrorism hysteria. But a wise culture would go, good heavens, lad, you must have seen amazing things. Tell us your story. Tell us your story. What is your story? So I want to throw our desire to punish into the cauldron and ladle our desire to hear stories and to heal out of, you know, on the other side of the cauldron, yeah?
I have such a hard time, you know, coming from a Christian background, understanding how a Christian, so-called Christian nation, could want to punish so much more than really forgive and move on. Honestly, there's people in our community who do that, but there's so few of them. It makes me wonder, because compassion has got to be part of our lives. That's, I think, one of the things that's missing: respect for everyone and compassion.
And do you know the etymology of respect?
Respecto in Italian. Let's see. Spectare means to look, and re means back.
Again.
Or again, either way. Yeah.
Right, yeah, anyway, that's right, to look back or to look again, because that's one of my favorite I'm taking with me, thanks to a member of my trickster training team who pointed that out to me, going, I love that respect means to look again, just like privilege means private law. We go, well,
right.
There we have it, right? I mean, again, we are grieving and throwing into the cauldron and ladling out, but you know, the incredible, I think, what is it? It's 1,200 people killed by the police this year, almost all black. I mean, we go, that's just crazy. And again, what do we want to ladle out? You know, how do we want to reframe the whole thing? And, in Chicago, you know, Rahm Emanuel, because they just, you know, they killed a 19-year-old and a woman who was merely answering the door for them. Oh, just no. And Rahm Emanuel's answer is, well, okay, we're going to give all the police more tasers. I'm like, no, what a bad and horrible, like, that's horrible too. No, we want Jupiter healing stories. Everybody go to cool out camp and learn what your job is. Because we're hiring policemen to be shamans, really, to walk the line between life and death, and they should be cool out healers. You know, let's throw everything about training police into the cauldron and ladle out. What would we really like? We'd want medicine men and women. In Terry Pratchett's novel, there's a wonderful young man who comes to the witches and says, I want to be a witch. And they're like, well, we don't usually, but, you know. But then they notice everywhere he goes, he cools it out. Wherever he goes into a conflict, it gets cooler. So they go, oh, well, you're a calm weaver. So you, young man, you can be a witch, yes. And I think that's, you know, going, right, I want to see police, you know, with rattles and cups of ginger and turmeric tea going, sir, I notice you're a little inflamed. I have some tea for you. The blessings do not have to be what we would think of as realistic. Cooperators are standing by for us to ladle out fresh, animated deals. So pardon poker. All right, we got Leonard Peltier and John Walker Lind and all people convicted of drug crimes. Really? I mean, shouldn't they be pardoned? Is that right?
Well, just looking at the, was it 92 pardons that the president just did? They were almost all for cocaine and some for meth. And I guess I'm not in favor of our entire justice system has got to be revamped. And certainly our jail system. I'm a member of a group that looks at some innovative ways that we can do restorative justice.
Right.
Justice we do now, but nevertheless, I have to say the first people on my list would not be people that were doing cocaine or meth. I think there are people who are in prison for life right now who their only crime was trying to spread around an herb that is really medicinal. So why weren't they first?
I have to get back on my fact checker for that, but I thought there was actually 2,000 people being pardoned, many of whom were but I have to get back on that, or or knowledgeable listeners, you can tweet. You can follow me on Twitter or send me a message at Stand Up Coyote if you have the figures. But yes, all right. So in any case, we're putting the desirable template, which is yes, all people imprisoned for doing the community service of providing marijuana. Okay.
No, Carolyn, you can't. Sorry, I have to stop you. This is one of my pet peeves.
Okay.
Word marijuana is perpetuating a crypto-racist term that we use as our legal term in this country for cannabis, a plant that has a scientific name. Now, why are we doing that? I mean, you may escape a lot of people, but the reason we're doing that is to denigrate the plant itself. We're trying to show it no respect. We're taking a slang word from another culture and using it as our main term for what is really a very powerful sacred plant. So I have to say, please, when you use marijuana, which is a term you probably don't know where it even comes from, I bet. When you use that, you're using a crypto-racist term. Please don't do it.
I have heard that story, and then there's other people who say, but it's also a very lovely word. So your point is taken. I almost always say cannabis, but I'm not sure that it's a crypto racist term.
If you use marijuana, then you should know its etymology. And actually, it's
okay. All right, we'll lay it out.
And actually, the Peruvian people, who have San Pedro as the father, they have ayahuasca as the mother, and the little helper, Santa Maria, is cannabis. So Santa Maria in Peru as a sacred name became marijuana in Mexico as a slang name.
As a what name?
Slang.
Slang, yeah.
Street slang. You know, it was marijuana. They're not going to say Santa Maria. They're going to say, what's the marijuana? You know, Mary Jane. The Mary, so a generic Jane instead of the holy Jane.
Okay, well, you're beautiful when you're angry, I will put that in my pipe and smoke it and research further. There are many people who have said that, which is why I almost always say cannabis. But anyway, there we go. Moving right along. There we go. San Pedro. There we go. Yes, that's fine. But meanwhile, all right. We want to go back to the impulse going, okay, the cannabis, all people in prison for cannabis. Are you up for that, Art Goodtimes?
Yes. Totally my prayer as well.
Totally what?
Totally my prayer as well.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so, and anything else you, I think also, you know, prisons really into the cauldron. I don't really want anybody in prison. There are people who have, remember Brecht says, what's the robbing of a bank compared to the founding of a bank, right? And you know the level of crime. So there are people who have been so brutalized as to be dangerous, and
right.
You know, and like there are a few dogs who have been so brutalized as to be dangerous, which is why I like pulling out the dog whisperer. You don't watch TV, so you don't know about him, but really great. He is the greatest transformation of violence. I think he's a really great spiritual teacher. I think he is a dog who's put on human form. But he's so good. He says the thing that heals violence, and he demonstrates this with dogs, is all dog problems are human problems. And he says Americans have lost the capacity for leadership. And to be a leader, you want to be calm, very calm, calm and focused, and that relaxes dogs. And then you go, no creature likes the word no. But you go, hey, which breaks humans or dogs out of a trance. Hey, and then you go, no, over here. There you go, over there. So there may be a few people who have been so brutalized, but let's go back also to what the Greeks did. When Hercules was destroying the world by up to no good sociopathy, which happens, the gods got together and they sentenced him to go to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving. I go, yeah. I want more imaginative sentencing. You know, they're using ayahuasca in Brazilian prisons on a pilot program. You know, more gardening, more. You know, and Trump, we sentence you to 10 years of aromatherapy. And we sentence you by throwing the I Ching. I want more, less punitive, more healing, and some people might need to be, you know, we might need to be protected from them in their current state, but I'm up for the whole. You mentioned, you know, restorative justice, and I want to go back to that, but prisons, you know, I don't want creatures, no zoos, no whatever, just, you know, everybody's safe enough to dree their weird in some form. But restorative justice, yes, speak more to that, because that is the realm of healing stories that is so before us, hopping up and down, wanting us to animate it.
Well, like you were saying with ayahuasca, I was in Brazil with the Getting Out of Vegetala group and traveled around and met revolutionaries, bank robbers, who had used the practice of taking ayahuasca every couple weeks as a way to get free of this addiction to crime and violence. And so it can be that there are other ways than the old model of the prison. So if we're going to reach out and ladle something into the future, I would like to see a new visioning of what it means to isolate people from a population. And, you know, with the Rainbow Gathering, when we have miscreants of any kind, we walk them out of the encampment. We banish them. So somehow, what kind of a banishment would make sense? An island? You know, maybe it is an island. I don't know. Maybe it's a reality show. Maybe you have to go stay at Trump's hotel. I don't know what it is, but we should examine what we can do to isolate people that need that, and then to give them the tools and make them work. It has to be reciprocal in order to get free again.
Yes, and maybe we turn Trump Towers into prisons with room service. WikiLeaks. Well, there's WikiLeaks. May anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and an occasion for mirth, maybe in the fullness of time. But everything coming out, you know, the cost versus price, the cost of sending, you know, a young person to prison in Massachusetts is like $100,000 a year. You know, and it's like, but it just, okay, so conniption fits into the cauldron, ladling out freed up imagination, going, what could you do with that money? You know,
let's re-envision.
Yeah,
let's re-envision what we could do. I mean, that's what we have so many wonderful young people. They see what we've done. Now they can move on and see what they can do.
Well, everybody, no ghettos, including age ghettos. Everybody, we're all in this thing together. But we do want to ladle out. It's again given to us so long ago by the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, the difference between cost and price. And price is, you know, it's very cheap to put rock salt on the roads. Price-wise, it's incredibly, the cost is exorbitant in terms of pollution of water and destruction of infrastructure. So once you have price and then cost, then, you know, the cost of sending, of incarcerating somebody is humongous. You could send them to Harvard and did you by any chance have you heard Michael Moore speaking about his film that is coming out that I cannot wait to see?
No, I haven't, but I always love Michael's work.
Well, he's gotten even more wonderful. You and he are so kinned increasingly now. He was on the Colbert Show and the Tonight Show, and Colbert was just sort of mystified because he said that the movie's coming out soon, opening in a couple of days in New York and Los Angeles, but soon everywhere, and it's so great.
Right.
It's called Where Shall We Invade Next? But he says no, but it's not a cynical thing. He said it's a movie about America from Europe, from Sagittarius world, saying how many great things are going on there. And he said, did you know that that in Germany, you know, you apply, if you get into a university, you get 4 years of free university. But not only that, they're opening it to the world. If you are an American and you get into a German university, you can go there for free for 4 years.
Now, I've heard this now, and I've talked to some woman who actually did it and really enjoyed it. So, yeah, it's really an amazing way. There are other pathways. You know, we think of American exceptionalism as though our pathways were the only ones, and they're not. There's lots of other examples out there.
No, and even the exceptionalism is into the cauldron. It's really like third grade recess. You know, we're exceptional. We're special. No, we are. It's like, no, stop. You know, boys toiling in a dark pit, woman calmly lowering a rope. There we go. You know, throw that in. And then, you know, he said, you know, in much of Scandinavia, and this is what Bernie Sanders is animating, going, do you know what socialism means? It means you can go to university for free. Oh, we like that. Do you know that in many parts of Europe you get, you know, a mother will get a year of paid leave after giving birth. A year. You know, and also when you move, you get a paid day to move. Just consider it. Just thoughtful. And then Portugal, right, they're into year 15 and a half now of all drugs are legal. In Portugal. And, you know, crime rate's down.
Right.
You know, police are cooler. You know, what a good idea. So these are, you know, anyway, so I love, so what Moore said is he goes, no, I'm tired of problems. Here he is, you know, throwing out the dystopian. He toiled in the dystopian realm. He's earned his dues. And he goes, this is a movie that is, you know, all solutions, no problems, all solutions. You know, and we go, yeah, that's wonderful. So anything you'd like to put on our altar of desirable animation?
Well, you know, I really would like to see it legalized entheogens. I really, like, for me, as a person who's been through relationships, I think every couple should be guided through a MDMA session every 6 months with a therapist. What it does is it gives you the opportunity to relieve all of those little annoyances that you don't want to talk about and then blow up because of some little incident. So for me, I think if we could really look at the plant world and the fungal world in a realistic scientific way and allow them to be used, integrated into our society, not quickly, but in a measured way, that's my hope for the future.
Well, you know, a very trippy thing, and I'm lining these people up as guests, a very quirky thing, because there's so much diaspora going on, is there are programs now of using ibogaine in Afghanistan to cure heroin addiction. It's like, whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah, I had a friend who came to the Mushroom Festival that we run in Telluride, and she said it was the worst experience she ever had in her life as a person who's well taking it. But it's really worked wonders for people, especially on heroin, and maybe it's because it's such a powerful kick.
Oh, well, no, I had a very different experience. It is customized. It goes to a very deep soul level. So one might or might not. It's like, you know, sometimes people say that about ayahuasca. But ibogaine, it's what you were saying. It used to be given to kings before they assumed leadership in Africa so they could see their befoldment. And also what we're doing now, you know, they could see unfolding before them the challenges and the desirable path. Very often couples would take ibogaine to go to the core of things, which also is something that I was good. So I'm very pro. And so if somebody had a bad experience, many people had bad experiences with salvia divinorum. Not me. Sign me up for everything. It's all a matter of respect, I think.
It is. The researcher was from Johns Hopkins, so I was just curious because it seemed like a neutral person. But you're right. There's so many variables, both with our disposition to various substances. That's why I think if you're going to do entheogens, you really need to have either a researcher or a good guide or friend to be there with you. It's so important, and people forget that sometimes.
Right. No, and that's why I was wondering also about the ibogaine going to Afghanistan, because it's something that, you know, again, we're all in this endogenous, we're all in this, you know, with many things like mushrooms, you know, or anything that comes on, you have fear and anxiety, and it's like, and then it's like, With ibogaine, you cannot move. You must not move. And you need no sound and no light, which is why your guide is there to protect you from any sound or light, because it's overwhelming. You must be complete, and you can't move when it comes on. You don't want to get up, because that would be terrible. You gotta go, you gotta ride with it. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. But here we are. Maybe part one of many, many cahootings, our good times. We're on our way out. Is there a woofy blessing you want to spiral forth into the community, or anything?
In a radiant light of our bodies, bless this world.
Excellent. Thank you so much. It is always a great pleasure to dance with you. Art Good Times, that is our great ally. Art Good Times, thanks so much to Eileen Humphreys in Washington, D.C., Erica Bridgman in Berkeley. I'm Caroline Casey. Follow me on Twitter, Stand Up Coyote, or coyotenetworknews.com. And we'll be back next week to do more on the Little Saint movies and entheogens. Woof, woof, woof. Thanks again, Art.
This is Brian Edwards Tekert, very excited to be working on Upfront, weekdays at 7 a.m. with a talented team.
I'm Sonali Kohatkar. Each morning we bring you the latest from the streets of Oakland to the halls of the state capital, from Los Angeles to Afghanistan. We deliver in-depth analysis, hard-hitting interviews, and debates on the issues that affect our lives.
And I'm Eileen Alfandari, working with the KPFA news team to bring you breaking news from across the state, the region, and the world. We'll keep you updated on the latest throughout the morning on KPFA.
It's Upfront, a statewide collaboration that brings you information that matters. That's every weekday morning at 7 a.m. right after Democracy Now! Keep it locked to KPFA 94.1 FM in the Bay Area, KFCF 88.1 FM in the Central Valley, or listen online at kpfa.org. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert. See you at 7.
This is Sabrina Jacobs, host and producer of A Rude Awakening, Mondays, 3:30 to 4. Our last on-air fun drive of the year is over. Thanks for your generous support. We didn't quite reach our goal, so if you are one of our listeners that intended to pledge, you can still do so today at kpfa.org. And don't forget that December marks the end of the 2015 tax year, which means you can get a tax deduction and help support KPFA at the same time. Go to kpfa.org and help us to foster real change.